We're going to start off with the scripture that we started off last week, moved a few others, and I want to just continue to encourage you to stand firm on the Word of God. How many know that the Word of God is activated when you believe it and speak it in faith? How many have been hearing this going on now for months, and you're finally moving past hearing to actually putting it to work?
Yes.
Paul said, we believe. Paul said. The Spirit of God, through Paul, said to the believer. So this isn't crazy doctrine. It's not off the wall. It's key to living a victorious life. How many are interested in living a victorious life? Those of you that did not raise your hands, take note of, turn around and lay hands on. No, I'm kidding. How many want to live a victorious life? How many know we have the victory in Jesus, but you want to live victorious? Now, how many know we're going to have battles? We're going to face some battles, some that will fail the first time, but doesn't mean the battle's over. It doesn't mean the war's over. It doesn't mean victory isn't ours. How many know that? How many have lost a few battles? But how many know that in spite of that, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us, Romans 8 tells us. So, Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading. This is a verse that we looked at last week. It says, rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. This is a loaded verse. Notice that it ends with thanksgiving. I mean, one of the biggest challenges to our walk with God is being thankful when things are tough. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good already. How many know one of the toughest things in the Christian life is being thankful when things are tough? The Word of God tells us to be thankful, not for all things. How many know everything that hits us doesn't come from God? There are some things that come from the devil, and I'm not going to be thankful for what he sends my way, but I can in all things be thankful. And how many know that can be a struggle sometimes? All of this is wrapped in, this whole verse ends with abounding. So if you want to abound therein, you do this with being thankful. Can you lay your Bible in your lap just for a moment and lift your hands with me? We do this a lot in this church. Hallelujah. Let yourself hear yourself. Say, Lord, right now it's hard to say this, but I am so thankful. I've got much to be thankful for. Come on, think about it. I've been honing in on all that's wrong for so long that a heart that used to overflow with faith is dampened and struggling. But right now, with the anointing, your anointing in this room, I've got a little extra help here. It's the importance of getting together with believers. It's good to meet God. You should, more than any other thing, meet God on your own, private and quiet time. But you should never abandon Hebrews 13, the fellowship of the brethren, because there's something special about right now, a little extra kick, a little extra boost, the way the anointing of God comes in. And in this anointing and in this setting, right now, I'm thankful. Come on, are you here this morning? I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful right now. I'm thankful. Come on, open up your mouth. I'm thankful for your goodness. I'm thankful for the good times. I'm thankful that in the bad times you remain faithful. I'm thankful today for young ones that are alive and for others that are coming to you. And I'm thankful today that you've provided. And right now, when it looks like I'm at the end of my rope, I've seen you come through so many times, sometimes seemingly at the last minute, but you have always remained faithful. So this morning, I'm thankful. Come on, people of God, shout it out. Worship Him. Say, I'm thankful for who you are in my life. Hallelujah. 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 You know, thankfulness. The Bible says here that we will abound in these things with thanksgiving. You ever read it that way? We will abound. In what things? This thing of being rooted. How many know it's important to be rooted? I remember in number of years ago in Florida, we had a hurricane, or the got kind of sideswiped by a pretty major hurricane. And we had some winds that were in excess of 70, sustained, excess of 70 mile an hour winds. So it's hurricane force winds coming through our area. I'm trying to remember what the name of the hurricane was. It doesn't really matter. But at any rate, we had a number of big, big, big trees in Melbourne and West Melbourne area that had stood for years. But they were planted. They explained later what was going on. These trees had been planted. They were not from there. They were not native to Florida. They'd been planted in soil that was very wet and remained wet. And the roots of those trees did not go deep. They kind of spidered out. So it looked like a mighty, strong tree. But there were trees that were native that understood the soil type and understood what was needed. Their roots were deep. I love the example that my dad gives often of the palm tree. He says how he loves the palm tree because they know how to bend with the wind. He said it's because they have a tough hide with a soft heart. How many know that's a good goal? I was sharing with our men's group this last Wednesday. I was talking about an old stuttering preacher, Buddy Robinson, old revivalist from, I believe, the, what, late 1800s? Is that right? A little later than that? Early 1900s? Immaterial, Buddy Robinson. Remember, as a kid, my dad had books, and I'd read them. He stuttered so terrible. I mean, it was just terrible. But when he would preach, the anointing of God would begin to flow, and he would preach, and people would be saved and struck under the power of God. Tremendous man of God, old stuttering Buddy Robinson. One of the things that he said as he began to age, he recognized something, that many men as they age, the storms of time don't make us sweeter. They shorten our temper. They make us have a shorter fuse, quicker to judgment. We have a tendency to become sinners. I'm talking about believers, people. I'm not even talking about the world. We begin to not believe anything. A heart, if we're not careful, can become hard. And I've seen so many men who, in their youth, did such great things for God, but died alone and hard and enclosed in a self-made tomb. You know anybody like that? Now, this isn't just for men. You don't know any women like that ever? Huh? I think men are more prone to that. But human nature is prone to that if we're not careful. Buddy Robinson said that, he said, the older I get, I pray that I will become a sweet old man. Here's this great revivalist who won people all over this nation, part of great revivals and great tent meetings and a super. But he said, my desire is that as I get old, I see you talking to Ann there, John. Is this hitting home? We got. That's my buddy. I can talk to him like that. He said, I pray that the Lord will make me a sweet old man. Tough-hearted, but tender-hearted. It's the whole push of the world is completely opposite of that. Trees that have deep roots and a good root system are tough. They can bend, they can move. I'll never forget the pictures of these great trees that you would have never dreamed would have come down, fell, and this big old disc system of roots just came right up, nothing under them. Would you shout out with me today, that is not me because of Jesus. I'm growing and I'm getting roots deep. Come on, say it with me today. I'm growing, getting roots deep, established in the faith. And if you've been with us over the last however many months, you now know that faith is not a generic religious term. Faith is what moves mountains. Faith is how God created the worlds and all that is. Hebrews tells us that everything was created by the word of his power. See, when we get that backwards and say the power of his word, that's where we get off into some error. And if we're not careful, we think that by our much speaking, we can twist God's arm and make him do something. That's not what faith confession, if you've been with us, I've been talking about that, is about. It's not about saying something so much till you make God hear you. It's not about saying something so much until you eventually twist God's arm. You know, fasting can become a similar type of trap. Fasting is not what most of the church world thinks that it is, biblically. I don't have time for that this morning, but most of the church world believes that fasting is a way to get God to do something that you want him to do. There is a scriptural fast that looks very different from most of what religious fasting is about. And if it does anything at all, it gets you quiet enough and separated enough and your flesh settled down enough that you can hear what he is already saying by his superabounding love and grace that has never changed. He wants to do more. He wants to heal more. He wants to provide more than you ever could possibly hope to. And he's already done all the work through Jesus. How many are glad for the work of Jesus? Three of you. How many are glad for the work of Jesus today? All right, so here's the thing. The Bible says that we can become rooted and established. Do you know anybody? Now, let's be careful because we can become critical and judgmental. That's not what I mean. But I mean, honestly assessing, how many of you know people that receive the Lord? At least they seem to receive the Lord. I mean, God is the judge of the heart, correct? Not us. But they receive the Lord with gladness and they had this little spurt of spiritual energy, but fell by the wayside. Let me know some people like that. Became disillusioned. How many know some people that were in the things of God maybe for a few years, a few months, but you don't see them around anymore? They got their eyes on people. They got their eyes on the... We're going to talk about that, time providing, this morning. There's a few things I want to get across to you today by the Spirit of God. But it is always heartbreaking to see those that fall away. Now, I didn't say going to hell or no longer in Jesus, or that God doesn't love them. That's going back to that old religious system. How many know that a confession of faith from a belief in our heart, simply that Jesus was raised from the dead and that he is Lord, how many know that alone, Paul said, causes you by faith, not by feelings, not by emotions, or how much you bawl and squall, or how much you beg for it, but a simple heart faith of believing in him causes you to pass, hold up people, listen, from death unto life, translated from darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. Don't let anybody ever turn you around on that subject. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not difficult. It was never intended to be difficult. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, I'm concerned that you would be seduced as Eve was from the simplicity. Everybody in here say simplicity. The simplicity of the gospel. Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, listen, you foolish Galatians, who has deceived you into believing that you began by faith and now you're going to maintain and finish by works? He was so very, very clear. He told them, be not entangled again with bondage, but stay free, stand fast in the liberty that God has given you. How many are glad for the liberty that we have in Jesus? Oh man, what a beautiful thing. So we understand the importance of these things. But we got to understand that it is important that we move beyond just being saved and love, and that we grow. Here you hear the heart of God saying, rooted and established. Once again, I want to ask, you know some people that are just... I've reached a point, listen, I'm not knocking special meetings and conferences. There was a time in Jackie and I's life, we were involved in a very successful church plant that we were involved in planning together with good friends of ours, Ken and Betsy Delgado. And we had just things were just happening. At one point, we were the fastest growing church in Brevard County. Just a lot of neat things were happening. And God did a lot in that work there over a 13-year period, and they continue strong and successful. But I remember there was a time when we were straining at breaking through to the next level. We were running at a little over 200, and we were wanting to make a difference, which we did. But it seemed like we kind of fell into this routine of, I mean, it was the conference. You could call the 90s anything. It was the conference age. And it came right up, and there's conferences they abound. But after a while, I'll be honest with you. I, as a pastor, grew weary of conferences, and I'll tell you why. Now, I received some good things from those conferences. How many know if you go with an open heart and you go to hear what God has to say to you, you're going to receive some good stuff. And how many know God does have gifts that He gives to the body? He has, and there's nothing wrong with saying this. I can show it to you in the Word. There are specialists. You know, the Word of God says that He gives gifts to every man. In fact, if you're born again in here this morning, I've got news for you. I'm not the only one called to ministry. So let's invert that. I'm not the only one called to not be flaky. Now let that just settle in a little bit. I'm not the only one called to be faithful to this and to you. You are called to faithfulness to this and to us. In Him, in prayer, in words, in purpose. For it's in that area God still monitors faithfulness of the heart. And the deceiver will come in and try to mess with that and give you every excuse and reason why that doesn't really matter. I'm in grace. Be careful, because it's not about heaven or hell. Thank God that's settled for those who are in Jesus. It's not about God's great love for you and His desire to bless you. It can't even cut off all of His blessing, but you can cut off the best plan. If we don't allow ourselves to move from babyhood to teenagehood, are you with me? To young adult, to then adult in Christ. And as we said last week, there are no shortcuts. There are certain spiritual laws that have never change, and I personally believe that they will never change. I believe that in heaven, now I haven't talked a lot about my personal eschatological beliefs, and somebody said, you did what? End time beliefs. But one thing I can show you in the Word for sure, regardless of what some big TV guys say, this earth is not going up and a ball of fire and a cloud of smoke to be utterly destroyed, and then we're going to live on a cloud somewhere. My Bible makes it very clear that the New Jerusalem's coming down here. This will be restored. In fact, your Bible says the same way that our body is looking for a day for its full redemption. How many are glad to be redeemed? Absolutely, 100%. But how many know our body is still awaiting its complete redemption? A new body, one like Jesus had when He could step through a wall and yet still enjoy meat and bread. No longer confined to natural laws, but He was there, flesh and bone. Thomas, you don't believe this happened? Thrust your hand up in my side. Whew. He hit his knees and worshiped the Lord. I think it's at that point where, for Thomas, he became God. Last word, truth in the flesh. I believe that this earth is not going up in a ball of flames. This earth is going to be restored to its beauty. I talked to somebody through text. I was glad to tell them that there are going to be beautiful mountains and streams and woods and flowers and animals. It's going to be everything that you love when you go on vacation and you're coming home in your RV or your beat-up pickup or whatever you got, and you're going, man, I wish that could last forever. That's heaven. And it's not weird and it's not far off. It's a restored. God created the heavens and the earth. And He said, this is good. And then when He created man and woman for all of this, actually all of this for them is a better way of putting it. He said about them, He said, and this is very good. The story of redemption is just that. Redeemed, bought back, restored from beginning to end. And I'm glad to announce to you that there's a whole lot more to life than just this life. And I'm here to tell you as well, I believe with all of my heart, that in that place, that now, I'll tell you what, every once in a while I read certain scriptures, but I won't take the time to go there now, and I'm reminded of how fleshly and ungodly I am in many ways. Because when I think of heaven being my home, oh, we say, heaven's my home. Really? How many are you in a hurry to get out of here? It takes faith to think like that. The unknown is scary. Without the presence of God and the promise of His Word. Are you here today? I believe it, I embrace it, but I'm not in a hurry to get out of here. I'm fighting to live. I'm resting to live. That's what biblical fighting is. Are you here today? Anyway, going back. In that place, our real home. Peter says about us who have believed on His name that we are aliens and strangers. I'm sorry. I don't feel that way. So, when I'm in worship, I do. Time to time in worship or I'm hearing a certain song, I feel a little bit of a jump off point until I think about, man, where am I going? How's this going to work? Aliens and strangers? How many don't feel like aliens and strangers at all? In fact, you kind of like where you're at. And you don't, you know, or not. Depends on what you're going through. But we do this depending on what we're going through. Depending on our age. The younger you are, the more you want to stay. The older you are, and the more things get separated, you begin to get a glimpse of what was, is, and going to be. Any rate, in that place called home, I believe with all of my heart, we will still be sowing seed. Somebody, everybody, in some way, form or fashion, there is a spiritual law that will never cease called, and Jesus referred to it as seed time and harvest. It's the way of the kingdom. I don't believe that it will ever end. Now, if we get there and it changes, I'll apologize. I don't think you really care at that point. But if you examine your Bible, you're going to find out that I believe that God still, we're not going to be sitting around like fat babies on a cloud with a harp in our hands. God's got stuff for us to do. When He says in Ephesians 2 that for the ages to come, He will continue. Think of that. Turn to your neighbor and bump him and say, for the ages to come. What in the world is that? For the ages to come, it is His glory to reveal His grace. That means that the idea that He still floods and overflows us with more than we could ever possibly deserve will go unending. There's going. God never does anything without a purpose. There's much more to life than this short little thing down here, Thomas. Now, I'm glad that while I'm here, I can bring the kingdom of heaven into my realm. That's why He gave us His name, a name that is above every name. That's why He gave us His word. That's why, on top of all that, He said, there's one thing that you need, and I got to get out of here so it can happen. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And I don't care what you think about tongues, you better read the book of Acts and look and see what happened, not just once and two, but again and again and again and again, as people were filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and there was a supernatural change that took place in their lives as a result of Acts 2. Now, if you haven't experienced that, that does not make you a second-class believer. Nobody should ever look down on you as less than you. At Jesus, you're as tall as anybody. But in this life, you want a little extra nitrous? You need to go back to Acts 2 and look at what He promised and what took place and what continues to take. It changed my life. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about today. But He gave us His word. Now here we're reading a scripture that says, rooted and built up in Him. I'll tell you what, people, you want to hear more about the Holy Ghost? Then you better be praying. Because I'm not going to just do it as a little message to say, okay, now it's free, come up and just create a... I've been through that, I've done it, I've seen it, and I see a few people get back, and I see more confusion and mess. I'm not going to do anything out of pressure or religion or stupidity, but when there is hunger, and when people are seeking God, and when people are desiring, this is what happened. You know what? It's not difficult. But until then, we're going to just keep preaching the Word of God and preaching the Word of God and prepping the soil of our hearts, mine included. I'm not pointing at you, everybody. And I believe that a church, if not many, but at least a, can get hungry enough that this setting right here will begin to mean more to you than any other setting. Not that the others are not important. We've turned into a once-a-week church nation, and we're in trouble. Now, having said that, we're going to be canceling our Wednesday nights through the summer and praying, but we're not going to be canceling fellowship and teaching and Word of God and vision. I just refuse to just beat a religious drum. 90% effort, 10% results. It's time to make a change. So you be in prayer with us about that, all right? Here's the thing. Say, we got a good thing going. Jesus in me, the hope of glory. Lord, show me how this is going to play out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, so rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. One more time, kick your hands up and be thankful. Come on, I'm not going to look. You can just do it to yourself. Thank you, Lord. All right. So, turn with me then in your Bibles, a similar verse. Paul's cutting through some pretty deep stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he gets all the way down. He deals with the deception of those that were coming in and saying that Jesus was not resurrected, and he's dealing with some things, and just practical, laying it down. And he gets down to the end, and he talks about the sting of death. We were talking a few minutes ago about death. I'm really glad that the sting of death can be removed. The victory of death has been vanquished, conquered. That's what our Bible says. He gets all the way down to the last verse, verse, or last two verses, 57, and he says this. Let me back up just for context. We just mentioned it. 56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. How many are glad you are delivered from the law? That if you put your faith in Jesus, you are now under and in grace. Paul makes it so clear in this second book of Corinthians. Not our topic for today. I must move on. I want to so bad, but I got to move on. Then he says, 57, but thanks. There's that word once again. Can you lift your eyes heavenward and your hands heavenward and say, thank you, Jesus. For what? Look at what he says. He says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Somebody said, yee-haw, I agree. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory, the victory, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 58, look at it. It's very much like Colossians 2. It says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Any believer can be nice. Are you lost? Got the wrong scripture? Everybody good? 1 Corinthians 15, last verse. Anybody be nice and people being nice to you? Jesus said, what good is it if you love those that love you? Love your enemies, I tell you. Whew. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. Steadfast. Never ceases to amaze me. So-called spirit-filled believers, not with the world, but with other believers, can in their moment of feeling judged and misunderstood, get violent and snippy, and cut people off, and show their fannies. That's a nice way of saying that. And they don't care who's around. This is who I am. And if you don't like it, you can. But they want to talk about the gifts. Prophecy. Tongues interpretation. You know what I want to talk about? Grow up. Rooted and established in the faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You remember the old bumper sticker from way back? Said, just be nice. I think the Spirit-filled church could use a little of be nice. I don't know. We were last week with a couple at, help me out, not Arturo's, the better Mexican restaurant. No, Casa Grande. Sometimes, it used to be, it's a little, depends on if Dad's there or not. If he's cooking, it's. At any rate, we were in there, and I ran into Pastor Wayne from Grace Baptist. Would you stop right now with me? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for men of God like that. Men of integrity and honesty and a commitment to your body, to your church. Bless that church this morning. It's about 11 o'clock. Just flood them with the presence and the grace of God. Bless Grace Baptist and all the churches in this area. But this morning, Father, thank you for men of God like Pastor Wayne. That man is truly not nice, but nice, kind, and open. Why? Because the Spirit of God's made a difference in his life. He's not just a professional. He loves the Lord and he loves people. You want to know something? That's not just for men in suit coats, which, by the way, I'm getting rid of this sack. That's for every believer. You doing all right this morning? See, I'm rooted. I'm getting rooted. I'm getting established. I'm abounding. Come on, are you here today? Honey, when I get negative tomorrow, you remind me of this. Shut me up. We're anointed to preach it, but we're not anointed to live it. We got to live it. We're all anointed to live it, but we're not specially anointed to live it. Just because I can preach it doesn't mean that I've got a special toehold on how to live it. I've got to live it just like you. And I felt just like you. And I need the grace of God just like you. And you need my prayers. I'm telling you, I need yours. We do. Amen? Okay, so let's move along. He says, therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Wait a minute, I thought that was for the pastor. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding. There's that word, abounding in thanksgiving and abounding in the work of the Lord. Everybody in here has a place, a gifting, and a calling. And the Holy Spirit is faithful, if we're paying attention, to show us and to lead us. Not out here wild-eyed like a lone wolf, always bouncing from church to church and crazy to crazy, but within the auspices of a family and under authority and in authority can begin to make changes that are eternal in a body and in a community together with other bodies, together with Pastor Wayne and others. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor... Come on, people, are you here today? Last week, we encourage you, never quit, never give up. Are you here today? He says, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, your labor, whether that's prayer or believing God or whatever it is you're doing, your labor is not in vain. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say it with some faith, mustered up a little bit. Your labor is not in vain. Come on, say it like you mean it. Your labor is not in vain. He's faithful who called us. Let's read it one more time. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The labor that he's speaking of, people, by the way, is not what you do for a living. The labor that he's speaking of is your labor to enter into the rest of God, to live your life by faith, to hook up and be a part of a body of faith, to move together, submitting to one another, esteeming the other higher than yourself, involving yourself. I can't get to everybody. I'm perpetually in trouble by people are offended because I didn't know something. But if we get some people involved in doing that, that helps. Now, there are some people just that old school thinking they always want the pastor to do it. It got really quiet in here when I did. Should I just move off of that? I love it. I'm more than willing. I'm just not a mind reader. Now, sometimes I'll know things by the Spirit. Sometimes I won't. Most of the time I won't. You know, somebody said, well, didn't you know? No, I didn't know. Nobody said anything. I look bad. Sometimes I do know stuff and I just ignore it. Well, we're being honest. Are you all like you don't? It's been like number 10 and we're not getting anywhere. I didn't say it was right. I said I'm human. Don't look at me like that, John. I'm so glad for the power of God. It changed our little family's life when we were introduced to, this is in Guatemala, denominational, old school, Pentecostal flavor, legalist, but my dad, how he loved the Lord. I saw that consistency from my earliest memories. The Word of God was put in my mouth from my earliest memories. And it's funny how that even though we were subject as a family to many of the restraints of very legalistic thinking, because they lived the life, somehow in my little heart and in my brother's, although there was a struggle in older years, we were already conflicted because we could see this grace of God and we'd lean on that even though this was being imposed and we were submitting to try to please Him, and yet we were in conflict because over here, because of who my parents were, I knew the song that I learned when I was little, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." You know, those things, those seeds, they got down in there deep. I'm thankful for, though, the fact that God led my parents to a place where they were so far away from any influences that the Spirit of God began to speak softly in their life. My dad found the power of the Holy Spirit, and he found out about the authority of the believer, and he found out about how faith works. And our family, the baptism of the Holy Spirit blew the lid off our family. I'm so thankful for the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all those wonderful things. But you know what? In time, we saw that these things were for the highways and the byways. It worked better for those that had never heard. We noticed that you couldn't just call on something for my brother or what. There are certain things that you must grow in. I shared with our men's group. I'm sharing our men's group. We have such a great time. Wednesday morning at 7, I was sharing with our men's group about growth and how important it is, and yet it takes time. Sometimes it feels like you're not growing at all. I want you to know something. When you feel like you're not growing at all, I want you to be encouraged. You're growing more than you think, as long as you don't quit. There was a young boy, true story, that went to his mama, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Went to his mama. He idolized T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne, this great man who's since gone on to be with the Lord. I never did get to meet him personally. I've sat across the table from him, greeted one another that way. I know his grandsons well. I know his son-in-law very, very well. In fact, we've done crusades and everything. Jackie and I, we were just kids when Rebecca was an infant, stood under grandstands in La Ceiba, Honduras, while his grandson preached the power of God, and we saw him here. Just tremendous thing. That's T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne, I don't have time to go into his whole story, but a lot of the stuff that he did that seemed odd, he asked the Lord, "I want to go to the darkest nations. I want Jesus to be seen." And one of the things that the Lord showed him, he told T.L., "When you're preaching," he said, "sometime I want you to go look in the mirror." And he said, "For the first time I realized that when I looked in the mirror, I looked like this." And he said, "Jesus spoke to me and said, that's not who I am. Fix that." How many know when you're in grace? He was a man who talked about the love of God. How many know when you're in grace and the love of God, then you can humbly and without any fear, you know how much He loves. You can turn around and examine yourself and say, "I don't like that. That doesn't look like Him. I'm going to work on that." The Bible says we can remove and replace by grace. We're not talking about salvation maintenance. That's a done deal. We're talking about becoming effective lights and salt that has a bite to it. Preservation, healing, cleansing, salt. All right? Big difference. So he fixed that. He got to thinking about it and he said, well, you know, he said, whether Jesus had a full beard or not, it's likely that he did. But most of the dark world that heard anything or knows anything about him at all, or even refers to him as a wise man or a prophet, they know him with a beard. So he grew this beautiful, he had it till he died, a big, beautiful red beard. And every preacher he knew wore black suits. That was the time and the age, so he just wore a white one. And he wore a white suit while he preached, with a big red beard as he shared the love of God. And we've got somewhere in Tree of Life Ministries, probably in Honduras and scattered in here, old 16 millimeter films. Miracles live on camera. You can witness some people being cast, the devil cast out of them, the whole deal. Anyway, neat thing. This young boy, he was about 8 or 9 years of age, and he said, Mama, he said, I feel like the Lord's calling me to be an evangelist like T.L. Osborne. He says, I want to do the things that T.L. Osborne said. I feel like God wants me to do those things. And he says, Mom, I need you to pray with me and agree with me. This is a young boy who'd been raised in faith. He's right there around all that faith thinking and people in that tall service back in the 80s. And he said, Mom, I need you to pray that I need you to agree with me. She said, well, what do you want me to pray and agree with? She says, Mama, I need God to give me a beard now. I need to go do this. She didn't know what to say. So she didn't have the heart to tell him. So they prayed and agreed. Didn't happen. And they prayed and agreed some more, and it didn't happen. She said, in time, he forgot about it. She said, but long about 21, 22 years of age, he was growing a nice full beard. There are some things that you can put a demand on in a proper context, and there are other things that you have to grow up in. And you can't circumvent seed, time, and harvest. I've watched so many people, in the name of faith, try to circumvent the process and died believing God because they didn't understand the principle. And that doesn't mean that they weren't good people. That doesn't mean that God couldn't use them. That doesn't even mean they weren't faith people. It just means that in that area they had misinformation and it caused them to go home where it's all good now. Does it matter? But how many know in this life, just like the thought of death, even though we have the word that the sting has been removed and, you know, death, where's your victory? The grave has been swallowed up through the, you know, still, how many in here are in a hurry to get out of here? All right. And there are some things that we struggle with in this life. It's called a good fight, 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 fight of faith for a reason. But the beauty is that when you get a hold of the message of grace, I'm going to go back and hit grace like I never have before here in another month or two or three. We'll see how the Lord leads us. But I feel like we just kind of, you know, we're out here taking care of a lot of things. But I'll tell you what, the devil will attack that core until after a while, the very things that we're preaching are doing the opposite because we haven't stayed center. How many are glad for the message of grace? The message of grace allows me to now, by grace, without any fear, allow some Word and Holy Ghost operation in my life to cause me to look and be and behave. Can you turn to your neighbor and bump them and say, behave like a spirit-filled believer. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. I'm so glad for all the power, and I know I've hit that the last several weeks. I'm not taking away from it, but man, we better be careful. I've always loved to fish, but a good friend of mine here really messed me up bad, and now I really love to fish. Don't worry, I'm not going to go, I don't even have the capacity, but I love to watch the pros, and it amazes me now. where it's grown from when I used to take a little grape worm and frogs and on mat and play around and catch everything, to where it's gone in 25 years. It's insane. There's guys that are multimillionaires from stinking bass fishing. Logos all over their shirt, their boats, endorsements. I mean, it's just insane. It's the American dream, you bet. Nothing wrong with that. Somebody said it could have been you. What an incredible thing. I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's awesome. There's few places in the world that has the ability to be able to do that, and that's because of freedom, born of freedom. Now, can it go the wrong way? Absolutely. 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 Although there's a few guys, just like in any sport in there, that really love God, and they use that platform to let people know. You should see even on the blog sites, touching people that would never be touched. But the funny thing that cracks me up is you'll get in this boat that's got decked out with every possible thing you can think of. You got chirp sonar, downscan. Most of you are going, are you talking in tongues right now? Are we already doing the Holy Ghost thing? What's going on? You got chirp sonar. You got downscan. You've got side scan. Now you've got this other thing that shows through the water this way, and you can literally see the fish lighting up, and it marks their depth and how far they are from your boat. Just insane. They got power poles that look like, you know, grasshopper legs coming off the back, that when you get to a certain area, they drop those power poles. They're only $5,000 a set, and you can add them to the back of your boat. And so, at any rate, they pop down and they hold them in place. And they got all this stuff, a boat that'll do 70, 80, 85, 90 mile an hour. Foam, a virtual fishing rocket. All kinds of power and all kinds of gifts. I'm in my little beat up 1988 Gregor. You know, I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it. I'm thankful. And I think, boy, I'm really flying, man. I'm cruising, doing 35. Some guy comes out and goes, "Nyow!" I'm going, "I'll see you in a little bit. 20 minutes or so, I'll be there." At any rate, amazing stuff. But you want to know what's funny? All that power and all those giftings, when you get to the spot, John, you better have a grasp on the basics. You better still know how, even if it's a 1,200 pole and reel, you better still know how to get it into there, into the unseen, and catch fish. All that, still, no matter how advanced they get, you still got an elusive animal, aquatic animal, avoiding your, even with all this stuff. I love to watch when John and I were talking about that. It's called Major League Fishing, and they don't use live wells. They have iPads, and they're hooked up on a network. And when they go to these lakes, I don't know exactly how they do it, but there's no live well. They catch the fish. There's a judge that's on the boat. They weigh it. There's an agreement, and the fish goes right back in the water. And it's really super fast. I mean, it's happening right now. Now, the cool thing about it is the fish are put right back where they were caught from. They don't get dumped at a ramp long ways away and other things that are all neat and agreeable, etc. But to watch these super pros that have won hundreds and hundreds of thousands and millions in some cases struggle all morning still with all their stuff to catch one fish. You still got to know the basics. You still got to know how to put something on a hook. You still have to know how to work it through the water. With all the stuff, you got to just grow in the knowledge of what's going on over there and how this works. And it's, to me, it's a fun thing. It may not be your thing at all. Every area of life that's worth anything, your marriage is like that. There are good books, good spirit-filled books. There's all kinds of information for the true spirit-filled believer that really wants help knowledge abounds. It's nobody's fault but your own that you can't delve in as a Spirit-filled believer who submits to the Word of God and get practical points and allow God to begin to mend and heal your marriage. But you're going to have to always, with all of those books and all of the stuff and all of the info and five languages of love, you can get so confused and muddled and formulas and things and gifts and this. The basics, two people who honor the same God. Two people who pray to the same God. Two people who are geared in the same direction because of their submission to God cannot help through struggle. I mean, anything worth anything? It's going to take some effort. But you're coming together. There is a drawing together because of who God is. How many are glad for Jesus this morning? Back to the basics. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Don't be flaky. Steadfast. You think that's bad? I was in here on a Wednesday night talking about, kind of similar along these lines, and I was talking about the importance of renewing our mind to the Word of God. And I was talking about the new nature on the inside and how that the little Indian boy went to his chieftain grandfather, and he said, Grandpa, how come there's so much evil in the world? And he said, well, son, he said, it's like this. He said, every man is born with two wolves on the inside of him. One is black and one is white, good and evil. And he said, they're constantly fighting. He said, well, Grandpa, how do we know which one wins? He said, the one you feed the most. That's pretty good, huh? You're going to feed your flesh or you're going to feed your heart with the Word of God? That's good stuff. And so in that moment of, wow, revelation and perfect story to just really drive the point home on a Thursday night with a good group of people there, I said, so listen, people, we got to understand that we all have farting wolves in our lives. I don't know where it came from. Yeah, they were doing that times three, and I hit the ground laughing. I about didn't recover our service. Everybody, we all have done that. We got farting wolves. So listen, steadfast is nothing, let me tell you. All right. Now I won't ever get the service back. Hallelujah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Did I say that in church? Yes, I did. My beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. How many are laboring in prayer over a grandbaby? A son or a daughter? How many are laboring over a future direction? A step that you feel like you're being prompted to take, but it scares you half into the middle of next week. How many are laboring with, I've been in this a while and I've seen God do great things, but I don't know why, but I'm in a funk. I've pressed everything I know to do and it just... You know, that's a bigger deal than some of them other ones sometimes. David used to describe it like this. He said, Lord, the heavens are like brass. Well, we know better than that. He later on recovers and said, the steadfast love of the Lord. That was another one, but David said many similar things. Never changes. David was the one who sang over and over again. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. But in the funk, can you be faithful to lift your hands? This too shall come to pass. Can I be really tacky and cliché-ous and say there is light at the end of the tunnel? God never wanted you to go through the tunnel. He had a design and a plan for you to go over. In fact, the mountain that you went over, he would have actually removed it. But now that I'm here, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I still, in a mess of my own making, I'm going to stand myself up. Having done all to stand in that evil day, I'm going to stand. How? With the armor of the Word of God. There's some things that I'm not going to get to this morning. We'll do it next week. We will. Don't worry. I'm going to talk about what the Word is. See, we've been talking about confessing the Word. I want to talk about what the Word is. Do you know that it's faithful? It's unshakable? Do you know it's sharper than a two-edged sword? Do you know that it doesn't return void to the work that it's been sent unto? Do you know that it's truth? Do you know that it is a discerner of the hearts and intent of man? Do you know that it is a fire and a hammer? Do you know that it is a sword? Do you realize what you have in your hands and in your heart? When you're going to, if I go there, I will do what I should do next week and not now. I'm going to stop right there. You're in the funk? Refuse the funk. Right now, abound with thanksgiving and watch yourself grow more when you think you're not. You're going to come out of this thing and look back and see the faithfulness of God. His word will not return void. I'm so thankful for my salvation this morning. I'm so thankful today for my baptizer in the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful today for my healer. I'm so thankful today for my provider. I'm so thankful today, come on people, for my peace. Come on, peace giver. Peace giver. I'm so thankful today when there is no way that I know the way maker. I'm so thankful today. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the author and the finisher of my faith, which is His anyway. I'm so glad today that in Him are exceeding great and precious promises, that in Him, I don't care what your religious thinking has dictated to you because of wrong teaching, that in Him are yes and amen. I'm so glad for every good, James chapter 1, and perfect gift that comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither the shadow of turning away. Would you shout with me today, He is good. And His mercy endures forever. Say with me, the Word of God is working mightily on the inside of me. You've heard me quote it many times, but in this context, hear it one more time. Philippians 2:13, would you close your eyes, open your ears wider than you ever have, clear down to your belly. Come on, hear it this morning, for it is God. That's a big deal, people. It is God who's working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I don't know about you, but every time I deal with these things, I sense and know the convincing. I don't use the word convicting because it has the wrong connotation, but that's actually the biblical word, but I sense the convincing love of God that shows me where I'm off, what I need to remove by grace and replace. It shows me once again Colossians and Ephesians, which say, put off the old man and put on the new. Cease from this and add this. Ephesians 5, two believers, awake thou that sleepest, and God will give you light. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. How? Singing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is a good thing we're in, people. And the Word of God, another thing about it, it stands forever. So we're going to look at those verses this coming week as we continue down. And then we're going to talk about Mark chapter 4, the condition of our heart. And this won't be a, remember TL? We're going to enjoy together as we let the Holy Spirit soften and open as we receive together words of life. John 6:63, and I say this in closing. He said, "My words are spirit and they're life." Gary, spirit and life. You know what else he said? John 8:32. We'll look at it again next week, so you don't have to worry that this is your one chance. Oh my God. We're going to look at it again. John 8:32. You shall know. Be careful. Oh yeah, that verse. Yeah, know the truth, and it'll. Yeah. Ooh, easy, easy. Have you lost the awe? Remember when you were first born again? The awe. You stood in a service that the music was so stinking loud, your ears were hurting, but it didn't bother you at all because the tears were flowing as you received the glory of God. Now today you're mad. Have you lost the awe? Have you lost the wow? You shall know the truth. And that truth will set you free. I don't know about you, but I'm so much freer than I ever was. But Herbert, real? My friend and brother, there's the more I grow, I'm finding more areas in me that I'm freed, but I'm not walking free. But I'm going to walk free. How many are glad for Jesus today? I don't know how to end this. Man, I'm a mess. I never know how to end anything. So much in here. So I don't know how else to do it but end it. So we're going to do that right there where you're sitting. Let's go ahead and stand, actually. Let's go ahead and stand. We haven't stood enough in this service. Breaking tradition. I'm going to pray for you. Dismiss. And I want each and every person under the sound of my voice to know that there are those of us who will remain here in the front. You have a need? You need agreement in prayer? We'd love to be able to do that with you. Pray and agree with you. You want to be saved? You want to know more about the baptism? That's what we're here for. So as we're dismissed and as we continue to worship, as you go your way, but listen, this morning I want you to be encouraged in the Lord. I want these words to come off your lips. I'm not falling for the shortcut. Thankful and being thankful, I'm going to grow. I am growing. Come on, shout it out with me. I am growing. Rooted. Establish, grounded in the faith. Steadfast, immovable by the grace of God. So, Father, for your people this morning, all over this house, we thank you for your anointing. Another thing about your word, we talk so much about anointing and anointings. But the truth is, the anointing rests on your word. You who are the word, the living word, you who are here by your spirit. Father, I thank you that you, like no other, can cause stony ground to be broken and crumbled and softened and watered until what was hardness becomes open and receptive and productive. I thank you that here by your anointing, that perfect love can cause fear to cease and open hearts up to bloom once again. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that we don't use platforms for our own intentions and purposes, but we bloom by the Holy Ghost. Where we're at right now, I consider no place that I'm at just a stepping stone to get to where I want to be. But if I'm here, this is a place called blessed, and right here, I will bloom and produce. Can you say amen to that? So, Father, today we thank you for your anointing on your word this morning and on your people. Would you say it with me, people? I'll never be quite the same again, in Jesus' name. Thank you for speaking to me. Speak to me through this week. Let these things tumble in my heart, coming again and again. And for these things, we give you thanks. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful, blessed week in Jesus. Greet one another as you go.